I want you to picture something here. A prominent Republican speaking at one of the country's most liberal enclaves, University of California at Berkeley. Not only is it a full house, he's getting a standing ovation. In that speech from April of last year, Senator Rand Paul railed against the NSA and the CIA, calling the intelligence community drunk with power. Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, now Berkeley professor, whom we spoke with yesterday, was there at the event, and he remembers thinking, wow, this is different. I mean, who could have ever imagined a Republican winning standing O's at both conservative conferences and at Berkeley? Well, Senator Paul noticed it, of course, and he added an intriguing postscript at that speech. He told his crowd, remember when Domino's finally admitted it had bad crust? The Republican Party must adapt or die. Well, a couple of months later, the Washington Post reported that the party, the grand old party I'm talking about here, did seem to be changing, noting that there was no obvious standard bearer for social conservatives. But a funny thing happened on the way to 2016, and if you doubt that, then you haven't had the TV on the past 48 hours. You would have seen it too. Republican candidates running to the right on social issues, literally battling to share the stage with the Kentucky clerk jailed for refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Are we witnessing the return of the religious right in presidential politics, the GOP in particular? William Martin is a senior fellow at the Baker Institute at Rice University, and he's the author of With God on Our Side, The Rise of the Religious Right in America. Professor, some would say the religious right never went anywhere. It's been the largest single voting bloc in the GOP since, for years now.
Well, that's correct. At about 40% of Republicans say that they are evangelical or born-again Christians, and a candidate running for the president as a Republican cannot win without that vote, but it also because that vote is that the positions held by the what we call the religious right for so long tend to be somewhat divisive, and the country is moving away from that. So there is a tension there. There is a real difficulty that poses. In the recent before the same-sex marriage decision by the Supreme Court, there were a number of commentators said it would. A lot of these candidates wish this would go away. They'd rather not have to face it. But now Kim Davis is making them face it.
And Kim Davis is the Kentucky County Clerk who was recently jailed for refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses. But something that a lot of folks forget, I think, Professor, is that this connection between evangelicals and the Republican Party is a relatively modern phenomenon. I mean, you don't have to go back that far to find evangelicals backing the Democratic nominee for president.
Well, that's correct. In fact, this was really a quite self-conscious effort and successful effort, as I deal with with God on Our Side. In 1976, after a number of evangelicals had come out to vote for Jimmy Carter, some members of what were called the old right, the people who were Goldwater supporters in 1964, decided, one of them, Howard Phillips, who was a political operative, said, evangelical Christians represent the largest stand of uncut virgin timber on the political landscape.
Wow.
And they set out consciously to do some heavy logging. And they recognized that television preachers like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell had a regular large audience. They enlisted Jerry Falwell by sympathizing with his fear that the IRS might be about to place unfavorable regulations on private schools. That out of that came the Moral Majority, and by 1980, they were able to add several million voters to Ronald Reagan's successful election.
But, you know, it's been
and
a long...
And they maintained that. Excuse me, go ahead.
No, forgive me for interrupting. It's just been a long time since I've heard the moral majority as a phrase, you know, being used in, political analysis. And I guess it makes me think, well, gee, if evangelicals could move from Democrats to Republicans in one election cycle, is it possible... Is it beyond the realm of political imagination, let's say, that evangelicals might no longer feel at some point welcome in the Republican Party, given the inherent tension between small government and social conservatism, and we might see eventually another tectonic shift?
I doubt it will be a tectonic shift, David. I think it's more likely to be a kind of erosion. But so far, despite predictions, that erosion has not really occurred, and we no longer hear about the moral majority, and we don't hear much about the religious right, except in some of these occasions, like the Kim Davis story. But part of that reason is because the religious right has simply become a major part of the Republican Party. It's they are a powerful, they have a powerful set of resources. They are people who meet together in substantial numbers with their friends, hearing a consistent, coherent message every day or every week, mm-hmm. and being urged to do something about this. And evangelicals are accustomed to calling on people and saying, this is what you need to believe. So they represent a really solid, still a solid aspect of the Republican Party.
And probably for the foreseeable future, William Martin is senior fellow at the Baker Institute at Rice University. He's also the author of With God on Our Side, The Rise of the Religious Right in America. Professor, thank you very much for taking time to speak with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.